Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
You know, Dory, I am very interested in personal style and figuring out what my personal style is. But I also really appreciate having some guidance in this area. You know, like fashion, I feel like is one of those things that people just kind of expect you to know what your innate style is.
Totally. Yes.
And that's not always the case.
No.
Which is why I have turned to my favorite place, Masterclass.
Yay.
Now, look, we all know that with Masterclass, you can dabble in new skills and learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. Like, if you want to learn how to use your voice as an instrument from Mariah Carey, that is a thing you can do.
Amazing.
Can you imagine if when you were in high school, someone said, hey, you could learn a voice from Mariah Carey? I wouldn't believe them.
No, I would not either.
It's possible with Masterclass. But the reason I bring up fashion and style is because they have a fantastic beauty and personal style section that I have been slowly working my way through. Two people in particular have been my guides. Tan France, who has a class called Style for Everyone, and Carla Welch, Building and Owning Your Personal Style.
Ooh, yes.
This has been very, very influential and helpful for me figuring out who I am as a dresser.
I love
and,
this.
And Dory, sometimes I do it while I'm getting dressed.
Oh, okay.
Because that's how easy and accessible Masterclass is. And like, it's not even necessary to sit down and consume a full class from start to finish. You can go at your own pace. Do it when it works for you. The material is super easy to access, whether I'm on my laptop, my phone, or my TV. They have a new audio mode so I can listen in my car or while I'm traveling. And right now, Forever 35 listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/F35. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/F35. That's masterclass.com/F35. Hello, welcome to Forever 35, a podcast all about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I am Kate Spencer.
I am Dory Shafrir.
And we are not experts.
No, but we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
We do. And this is a mini episode where we hear from you, we share your comments and your thoughts, and we answer your questions to the best of our ability.
Indeed. But please do remember, we are podcast hosts, we're not experts, and we always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a medical and or mental health professional as needed.
If you would like to reach us, our voicemail and text number is 781-591-0390. Look, send us some texts. Just send us a text. I'm a little down in the dumps lately. I'm the one who reads them. If you have it in you to send me a text, I will do my best to reply. I do reply. So get in there. And our
Kate
email is forever 35.
Yeah.
I need, listen, I've got, it's rough around here. If you could just drop me a line, just say hi, I'd appreciate it. You can also email us, which we also love, at forever35podcast@gmail.com.
And visit our website, forever35podcast.com, for links to everything we mentioned on the show. Follow us on Twitter at forever35pod, on Instagram at forever35podcast, and join the Forever 35 Facebook group where the password is serums. You can also sign up for our newsletter at forever35podcast.com/newsletter. and shop all the products we mention on the show. They're on our website, but then you can also find them at shopmyshelf.us/forever35, where they're arranged kind of more thematically. And finally, we have our Forever 35 Giving Circle. We're trying to get to $20,000. We're plugging along. I think we're at almost 13 right now. And you can do that at bit.ly/forever35podcastgc, which we will link to in the show notes as well.
And any amount is helpful. It need not be a lot.
Indeed. Kate, how are you?
Well, I come bearing news, and that is that once again, I have purchased a skincare item that I don't need and won't change my life.
Okay.
And yet I bought it anyway.
Okay.
So here's the deal, Dory. Our friends over in the G Thanks Just Bought It podcast universe are very big fans of the Alginist liquid collagen.
Yes.
Okay.
They're like evangelical about it.
Yes. And Caroline or someone in the Facebook group, I'm assuming it was Caroline Moss, our dear friend and host of that podcast, posted that it was on sale, and it was on sale at Costco. Now, listen, you know I needed some collapsible laundry baskets, and I used that as an excuse to order, and it was a good deal. It normally retails for $115, and it was about $73. So even though that's also very expensive, I rationalized it because there was a discount. So I've been using, it came quickly because Costco has an excellent delivery ability. I don't know, it always comes very fast, although I'm still waiting on the laundry baskets, I should say. I've started trying that out. I don't even really know what I expect to see from this product. I believe it is no disrespect to all products, but it's like every product is the same old, same old. It's like fine lines, plumping skin.
No disrespect to all products.
Well, I mean, or like no disrespect to the copywriters who write the copy describing what the product does.
Sure.
But it's like every product claims to do the same thing. I know like, vitamin C does this a little bit different than, let's say, a glycolic acid. But let's be honest, they're all making the same claims.
Okay.
So is this going to change my life? Is it going to do anything? Look, probably not. Am I trying to fill a void? Sure.
Okay.
But I will say, on a less superficial note, Dory, I spent time with friends this weekend, and it really refilled my cup, if you will. It was really, really nice. A friend of ours hosted our family and another family that we're friends with at their house for a little like barbecue and hang out in the pool time. And we were there for like 8 hours. We were there from like 2 to 9, 2:30 to like 9. We were there all day.
Wow. Okay.
And it was just, you know what? It was really fun. We had some laughs. We had some burgers. I drank a beer, which I don't normally do. It was just really fun. Our kids had a great time. And it was like, I just was reminded of like how people being around your friends and people can really just fill you up. It can really bring you up. And that was incredibly nourishing because I've just been feeling kind of just really down lately.
Yeah.
I even said that to my friend. I was like, I'm so glad you invited us over. I've been so depressed. And she was like, oh, what's going on? But I don't even know what's going on, you know? So that was nice. I know. We both are kind of, how are you kind of feeling in terms of just like that blueness that we're kind of both in? AKA depression.
You know, one thing that I have started doing that I don't normally do is when people ask me how I am, I'm like, actually, I'm not great.
Yes. I think that's so important to answer honestly.
Yeah. I'm like, to be honest, not so great. Which like leads to a lot of, or I mean, I haven't done, it's not like a lot. I haven't done it like 1,000 times, but like people are definitely like, oh, well, like, do you want to talk? Or I was actually on the phone with a friend this morning, who lives on the East Coast. And she was like, how are you? I was like, you know, in like a grand cosmic sense, I'm fine.
That's a nice way of putting it.
But on like a day-to-day level, I'm not so great. And so what I'm doing right now is just trying to kind of soldier through. And yeah, so I'm trying to just like articulate it a little bit more, because I think a lot of times when we ask people like, how are you? It's not that we expect them to be like, everything's great. It's just like, I think there can be a tendency to sort of just gloss over what's really going on. Yeah. And that doesn't mean that I like am just like unloading. You know what I mean?
Of course, which you're welcome to do if I ask you how you're doing.
Totally.
You're welcome in unloading.
Yeah. But so that's one thing I've started doing. Another thing that I did this weekend, Kate, and I haven't told you this, and it was actually hard to keep this a secret.
Oh my gosh,
I was like,
I'm so nervous.
I'm going to just tell her on the pod. I watched all of Heartstopper.
You did?
I did.
Did it make you feel good inside?
I loved it. It was so great.
God. Aren't they the sweetest teens you ever did meet?
The sweetest teens. Oh. I'm just, the music is so good. Mm-hmm. The story's so great. I just really, I really, really enjoyed it. I love the characters. It's really wonderful. So thank you for
Netflix.
That rec. You and another.
I'm so happy.
Yeah, you and another friend had like really strongly recommended it. And I was finally like, you know what? I think that this will be a pick me up. And it was.
It's also nice. It really is.
It was 8 episodes and they're each 30 minutes. So like it's very manageable. It actually left me wanting more, which I feel like a lot of TV shows these days, you're like, okay, I get it.
Get on with it.
Get on with it. But this, I was like, oh, there's only 8 episodes. Wait, why is it only 30 minutes? That's not long enough.
Oh, wow. Dory, that's impressive, because I do feel like you have mentioned that when a show stretches into the like 43-minute zone, you're like, come on.
You know, it reminded me a bit of Sex Education, which I still need to watch.
I
know you have not watched, mm-hmm. but which is an hour-long show. And I actually feel like Heartstopper, I get why it was 30 minutes. And like, it is sort of like delicious and like kind of snacky,
yep.
And cute and sweet. And so I get that the 30 minutes like makes sense for it. But I was like, well, I do think Sex Education is a great hour long that deals with some similar themes, and it lets the hour like lets them sort of get a little deeper into each of the characters and their families. Like that was one thing that I almost like wanted more, maybe because I am the age of like their parents, but I was like, I want more. What's going on? Why haven't we seen Elle's family? Like, I was just like, did they not want to pay more actors? Like, what is happening here?
Maybe in season 2 we're gonna get more of Elle.
I hope so. Well, it's been renewed for 2 seasons.
I know. I'm so
excited.
Got
a 2-season pickup. So like, well, I mean, we better see more of Elle and Elle's family.
It was interesting,
just like another note on the parents. No one had a 2-parent household. Or if they did, the second parent was never mentioned or seen. Which again,
that's
I was like,
interesting. You're right.
Cut? What's going on here?
I do love that you're considering production as you watch these shows.
I feel like that's my. Well, did they spend their whole budget on Olivia Colman? And they were like, no more parents.
I mean, Olivia Colman, we don't need to get into the weeds on this show, but like, she doesn't have a big part, but they're using her name like as a entryway to the show.
Oh, for sure.
You don't need Olivia Colman. I mean, she's a lovely actress, she's an amazing actress, but on this show, you know, she's like, she's just kind of whatever.
Yeah. So I don't know. Anyway, yeah. So I wanted to tell you that. I really enjoyed it. Nice, I highly recommend it. And yeah.
Well, I really appreciate you saving that little tidbit for me on the podcast. It's always a fun treat to get a surprise on the show.
I know. I almost texted you so many times and then I was like, nope.
I'm going to
save it for the pod.
Thank you. I'm very honored. Well, listen, let's take a break. And when we come back, we've got some listeners to hear from with just some really interesting questions, you know, just a fun, this is a real kind of hodgepodge of questions that I enjoyed reading.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. And they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave. It's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like zoop and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word. Don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
You know, Dory, I am very interested in personal style and figuring out what my personal style is. But I also really appreciate having some guidance in this area. You know, like fashion, I feel like is one of those things that people just kind of expect you to know what your innate style is.
Totally. Yes.
And that's not always the case.
No.
Which is why I have turned to my favorite place, Masterclass.
Yay.
Now, look, we all know that with Masterclass, you can dabble in new skills and learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. Like, if you want to learn how to use your voice as an instrument from Mariah Carey, that is a thing you can do.
Amazing.
Can you imagine if when you were in high school, someone said, hey, you could learn a voice from Mariah Carey? I wouldn't believe them.
No, but I would not possible. Either.
It's possible with MasterClass. But the reason I bring up fashion and style is because they have a fantastic beauty and personal style section that I have been slowly working my way through. Two people in particular have been my guides. Tan France, who has a class called Style for Everyone, and Carla Welch, Building and Owning Your Personal Style.
Ooh, yes.
This has been very, very influential and helpful for me figuring out who I am as a dresser.
I love
and
this.
Dory, sometimes I do it while I'm getting dressed.
Oh, okay.
Because that's how easy and accessible MasterClass is. And like, it's not even necessary to sit down and consume a full class from start to finish. You can go at your own pace. Do it when it works for you. The material is super easy to access, whether I'm on my laptop, my phone, or my TV. They have a new audio mode so I can listen in my car or while I'm traveling. And right now, Forever 35 listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/F35. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/F35. That's masterclass.com/F35. Okay, so here's an interesting question that we're going to start off with. This person wrote to us and they asked, in your opinions, is it rude to do chores in front of slash around house guests? I'm an introvert with anxiety who struggles with keeping still, and I find myself doing chores around my guests. And I wonder if I'm being rude without realizing it by doing so.
This is one of those where I feel like I need more information. Like, what kind of chores are we talking about here?
And also, what kind of guests?
And also, what kind of guests, and how long have they been there, and what are they doing? And if it's like a dinner party and you're upstairs vacuuming, yes, I think that's rude.
Yes, yes, I agree. But if it's someone who's staying at your house for a week and you're like doing a, you know, cleaning the bathroom or sweeping the kitchen or whatever.
Not rude.
No, that's a part of your daily life and you shouldn't withhold that while you have a house guest. I do. And I, you know, sometimes like if a friend comes over just to like hang out and chat, I would stand there and like wash dishes or like wipe down the kitchen counter or fold laundry while they're there.
But it sounds like you would do chores that are still, you're still able to like engage with the guest.
Yes.
And I wonder if this person is doing it to, because they say they struggle with anxiety and keeping still. And I just wonder if they're doing it to sort of avoid hanging out with the guest, which I do think is like a little bit rude. But again, depends on context. If it's someone who's been at your house for 3 days, go ahead, do whatever you want. If it's someone who's like coming over for an hour to have like an intimate conversation with you, then like maybe don't.
The other thing I would say is that this obviously depends, I think, on your community. I don't want to be presumptuous because this is something I would feel comfortable saying to people in my life, but I know that it's not the case for everybody. But I think you could also be honest and just say, I'm sorry, I'm feeling anxious. This helps me kind of ground myself. Or, you know, there might be ways to kind of communicate it. So, you know, it's not just like, why is Kate scrubbing the sink right now in the middle of dinner? You know, I think
totally.
I think people are have a deeper understanding of mental health and the ways in which it impacts us. Now, of course, not everybody. I don't want to be presumptuous, but could try that too. Anyway, if you want to provide more context, I'd be very curious to what you're talking, like a little more deets.
Yeah, we need some more deets.
We need those deets. Deet us up.
All right. Next text. Do you guys eat a lot of quinoa? If so, do you wash it before you cook it? And if so, how? I always just wash it in a bowl like I do with rice. Then I lose a significant amount down the sink. Do they make colanders tiny enough for quinoa?
Now, I'm so fascinated as to why you reached out to us about this question because, I mean, we are renowned chefs.
We are renowned quinoa experts.
Quinoa. We love a grain. We love a whole grain. I appreciate the fact that you
want to know this about Dory and I, or about Dory and me, rather. I do eat quinoa. I don't wash it. There you go. Okay, but I just Googled, how can I strain quinoa? And someone said, simply place quinoa in your French press, fill it with cold water, and drain.
Wow. Okay.
I think this is how to strain quinoa without like a colander.
Oh, interesting.
I do have colanders, like very thin wire ones that you are able to strain quinoa with. I find it annoying because you have to scrape it out of the colander.
Yeah, totally.
Do you eat quinoa? We've never discussed this. It's not something I know about you.
You know, I have eaten quinoa. I used to make a really yummy quinoa casserole. I haven't made it in years. But it was a real staple of my diet for a while. It was very easy and had a lot of veggies and cheese. And it might have been when I wasn't eating meat at all. I don't remember, but, a very good standby workhorse recipe. But I have not eaten quinoa in a long time. I don't love it. I don't love the taste. I don't particularly love the consistency. I know it's like really good for you, quote unquote, but doesn't really do it for me. Just gonna speak my quinoa truth.
Okay. I mean, I honor it, you know, there's no need.
Thank you.
You don't have to eat quinoa.
Thank you so much.
So I did want to say, get yourself like a fine mesh strainer, but also like, I just did a very basic Google and stuff comes up right away. Like, I think there are even, like, you know, there's clickbaity articles about quinoa strainers. I think there might even be specific ones. So you're going to be fine. But that being said, I just made quinoa the other day and I dumped it right into the pot with the water and cooked it and I didn't rinse it. And also, I'm really bad about rinsing rice. Just feel like I need to say it.
Okay.
Do you rinse your rice every time you make rice?
Not every time.
Okay.
Sometimes.
I try to, and I do with the rice cooker, but sometimes I'm just like, I'm too lazy. Oh, I know it's not good. I'm sorry.
Well, all right. We're just going to have to...
Just have to accept me as I...
Yeah, I'm going to have to think about that one, but
All right. Well, let's play this voicemail, which asks a question that's kind of in keeping with this theme, completely arbitrary.
I like an arbitrary theme.
Me too.
Hi, Cat and Door. I hope my traffic background noise is not too distracting, but I just had to pause the pod with all this hat talk because I have a question. How are we cleaning our hats? I feel like our hats are, you know, prime absorbers of sweat, sunscreen, other liquids that we don't want hanging around on our foreheads. So what do we do? How do we clean our hats? Would love some advice. Thank you.
So when I first heard this email, I thought the question was, how do we clean our house?
Oh, and you're like sweat and like,
it's like a Swiffer. And then I like lug the vacuum in and I have a Dyson handheld. That's really good. And then I realized the caller was asking, how do we clean our hats? Mm-hmm. And this left me wondering if you even clean your hats. Do you wash your hats?
I wash, like, sport caps.
Mm-hmm. Like your tennis cap?
Like my tennis cap I do wash, and I do wash baseball caps.
How? Like you put it in a laundry bag and then wash it?
Sometimes I just throw them in the washing machine.
Okay. I mean, we come from a generation, I mean, at least I did, where it was cool for your hat to be like the bill to be super bent. Do you remember this?
I do remember this.
And look really worn in. And so people used to put their hats in the dishwasher. That's what I feel like very specifically remember doing is dishwashing hats.
I don't put my hat in the dishwasher.
I don't either. I would never do that now, but that is a memory that I have. I don't wash hats, so I should do that.
You know, I was thinking like a straw hat. I don't know.
Dory.
What?
You can't wash a straw hat. You just have
to
let it.
No, you can't, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I mean, maybe you could sponge it.
Can I suggest that maybe Rothy's starts making hats?
Oh, yes, Kate, podcast. You may suggest that.
Sponsor Rothy's. They make washable shoes that you can easily throw in the dishwasher. Maybe they try their hands at a hat.
Okay.
But yes, I do think, like Dory is suggesting, a sports cap, especially something that you are like hiking or running or walking in. You got to clean that off because that's getting right on your forehead and all that sweat and grime can it clog a pore?
Yeah.
Look, we got to keep those pores fresh.
We do.
Yep. All right. Well, let's take a break.
Okay. Let's do that. We'll be right back.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Well, we're back. We're here with a new question. Here we are. Hi, Kate and Dory. I'm loving my one line a day journal these days. I started it almost 2 years ago, oddly, exactly 1 year to the day before my son was born. Now that I'm over a year in, it's fun to go back and read about what I was up to the previous year as I fill in the latest entry. My problem is that my handwriting is terrible. Sometimes I can barely read it. I've never had great handwriting, but it seems to be getting worse in the last few years. It's also not likely helped by the fact that the space in the journal is so small. My handwriting is a little better when I have a little more room. Do you or any listeners have advice on how to improve handwriting as an adult? I'm not just concerned for my journal. I'd like things like handwritten thank you notes and birthday cards to be legible to the people I love.
What an interesting question.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely understand what this listener is saying. My handwriting has gotten sloppier as I've gotten older, and I think that's due to the fact that we handwrite less, or at least I do. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Has yours changed over time?
I don't think so.
Okay. The other thing I've noticed about my own handwriting is when I'm in a rush, it's a lot grosser. So if I slow down and really take my time, the penmanship is better. But I don't know if like you should buy a little handwriting book and practice your handwriting, or if you just like take a pause and go slow.
Okay.
That's my suggestion. Do you have thoughts on this?
Yeah, I feel like as with everything, there must be like... I feel like if you looked up on YouTube like handwriting lessons, you would like find some.
Let's see. Let's look right now. Okay. Handwriting lessons for adults. The other thing that I do, Skillshare has handwriting classes. Well, there's tons of information on this. I don't know if it's probably like leaning into calligraphy. The one thing I do kind of wonder about handwriting, and I'm sure there's an expert out there who can tell us, but is it something that you can actively change, or is it a part of you? Because my handwriting feels so organic and like an extension of myself that I'm not sure I would be able to change it. You know what I mean? It's like if you grow up with a Boston accent your entire life, and then you have to actively work to get rid of it. Like that's very hard. These things that are almost imprinted on us, if you will. Shout out to Twilight.
Yeah, but like you can change an accent.
Right, right. So it might just, it might be that kind of challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as a young person, I wanted so desperately to write my A's the fancy way. What's the fancy A? Do you know what I mean? Like a type,
way.
A typewriter, lowercase A. I'm sure this has a name.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean.
There were like, I was obsessed with other people's handwriting and, you know, like girls who had like bubble dots over the eyes and stuff like that.
Totally.
And I really wanted to write my A's that like cool way. And I tried so hard to train myself on it, and it never became habit. Like it is really hard.
Okay.
Now, I do still, I can still sign my name with a horse head, so. That I can still do. Also, though, that the one line a day journal lines are very tiny. I see that, yes. Listener. It's tiny.
All right. Well, should we hear another voicemail?
Please lay it on me.
Hi, I am calling with a question for both of you and the listeners. Actually, two questions. First, I'm getting married in August, and I think you might have touched on this before, but how did you decide to keep your last name? And for listeners, how did you make that decision to either change or to keep your last name? And then the other is, I am most likely going to be doing my own makeup for my wedding. I'm getting married at a national park, and it's just going to be easier if I do it myself. I don't have a lot of experience with makeup. So does anyone have any tips for doing your own makeup for an event? Thanks so much.
Kate, what do you think about this? The name changing question, I guess, is my first.
It was never a decision for me. I've known my whole life that I would never change my last name. So it wasn't like I sat and like hummed and hawed and made like a pros and cons list. Like, this is my name. So it was never a discussion. It was never, you know, I think when my husband and I were like talking about getting married, I was like, just FYI, I ain't becoming one of you. I'm me. Now, if you want to take on your partner's name, go for it. And I have friends who've done all sorts of things. I've had, you know, friends combine their last names or create new last names. Or in heterosexual relationships, I've had friends whose husbands have taken their wives' last name. I mean, like, I've seen everything. So, like, this is a dated practice that we are all still welcome to partake in, but like, there's no right way to do it, I guess, is what I'm saying. You do whatever you want. And if you want to make it something you collaborate on with your partner, great. But my opinion is like, you do whatever you want. Some people want a new last name for various reasons. It makes them, you know, feel connected to their partner or their family, or like you just hate your last name. Everybody has a reason. I just like, also, I don't know. I just can't imagine my name being anything but what it already is.
Yeah, same. I mean, Kate, you got married like relatively young.
29, I think.
Yeah, I mean, in the course of history, of course, that's not that young, but like.
Sure.
You know,
but
what
in
I
the
mean.
Course of like 2000 and whatever this is, 22.
Yeah.
Yeah, feels young.
And so I feel like I sometimes hear women who get married sort of on the younger side say like, oh, well, you know, it wasn't a big deal. I just like that they didn't have a career really established yet. And so like, it wasn't a big deal to them to change their names. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, I got married at 38. So like, I felt the total opposite where I was like, I have, you know, I have this name that, and I have an unusual name, you know? So I just feel like it's already out there. And like, I could have done the thing where it's like, you know, you read those wedding announcements, it's like the bride will keep her name professionally. It's like, that feels confusing to me too. I don't know. It just, again, like for me, it was never even a thought. Also, my mom didn't change her name.
My mom did, which
was like more unusual, you know, at the time. Although, you know, I grew up in a sort of like liberal Boston suburb in the 80s and 90s, and there were plenty of kids with hyphenated last names and moms who had kept their names, but it wasn't the majority. And so I think I just, you know, people say, well, you know, won't it be weird to have your whole family not have the same last name? It's like, well, no, like I grew up with my mom not having my same last name, and who, you know, it wasn't a big deal. People often called her Mrs. Shafrir and she sort of like laughed it off. But like, other than that, it didn't really matter. My favorite is when I make like a hotel reservation or
yes,
something. And then they call Matt Mr. Shafrir. And I'm
me
like,
me too. I love that so much. Yeah. I think to this listener, I just say like, do whatever feels good for you. You know,
totally. Put
whatever you need first is the right decision. And then I think if it's something you want to, you know, discuss with your partner, do that after you've kind of decided what you feel like. So, and yeah. Again, I invite you to ask your partner if they want to change their last name to yours.
Indeed.
You know, okay. As for the doing your own makeup, first of all, getting married in a national park, that sounds beautiful. Congratulations. How exciting. I find that my mantra for when I'm doing my own makeup is keep it simple, stupid, that old phrase. Less is more. And I think ultimately makeup on your wedding day is about the pictures. Is that bad to say?
You know what, like, I would suggest is doing a trial run.
Yes, good call.
Do a trial run and take some pictures in different lighting and see how it looks and then adjust accordingly.
You're so smart. That's such a good idea.
Oh, well, thank you, Kate. Yeah, I mean, because what I always do find is like makeup that is done for pictures always looks so garish to me. And then the pictures come out and I look totally normal. And when I do my own makeup for pictures, I always think I've put on a lot, but then I get the pictures back and I look like a ghost.
We've gone through this together. Like Dory and I took photographs together and we did our own makeup and we looked like we had no makeup. I mean, it didn't. And then we had our makeup professionally done for
and
photos.
Like, oh my God, I'm wearing so much makeup. And then we got the photos mirror. Back and I was like, oh, we look nice.
Yeah, right. It's just, it's makeup is truly like it is a tool for how you're going to look. I mean, also, obviously, it's a tool for real life, but you know what I'm saying. I feel like with these wedding photos, yes. So I think that's a great idea. If you're having a photographer, if you have a friend who's a photographer, you could also ask them for tips. And then maybe like, I think it's always, you know, you can always go to, if you live near like a local makeup store, check in there. But I would say you want like a basic lighter weight foundation, some cheek color, a mascara and a lip color. And then like, maybe you get into a, did I say concealer? I don't know.
I don't think so.
And like maybe a brow gel, you know, clear. That's like basic, all you need. And then if you want to add on there, add on. Also, I bet, again, not to keep throwing a YouTube, you can find everything on YouTube.
And TikTok.
I was just thinking that. And fucking TikTok. The quinoa salad I made for lunch last week, TikTok.
Ooh.
It wasn't that good.
Okay.
I'm not going to link to it. It wasn't like blow my mind quinoa salad, but that is what I've been eating for the last 4 days.
Okay. Okay.
Well, listeners, as always, what an honor it is that you trust us with such a variety of questions.
Indeed.
Like, I'm genuinely flattered. Thank you for sharing these inquiries with us.
All right, everyone.
All right, off we go.
Bye.